1 Samuel 24, verses 5 through 7. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. When David had the chance to kill Saul and to exact his revenge, he refused to do it. Instead, David cut off a small piece of Saul's robe, and as soon as he did it, he knew he had been wrong. You see, even though David could not respect Saul the man, he still respected the office of Saul the king. And David tells his men about this and stops them from harming Saul as well. David immediately knew that his thoughts of revenge and his desire to get even were not from the Lord. He knew that taking matters into his own hands would not be pleasing to the Lord. David knew that matters like the hurts of life and the feelings of revenge are matters that are best left in the hand of God. David knew that he did not have the right to play judge and jury in the life of Saul. Did you ever stop to consider the fact that when we take matters into our own hands and try to get even with others, that we are actually taking the place of God? When we set ourselves up as another person's judge and jury, we determine their punishment, we've overstepped our boundaries. A person who walks with integrity understands the truth that none of us are perfect. He or she understands that we all fall short. We all sin. We are all guilty of hurting others. He knows that ultimately we all must give an account to God. That is how a person of integrity walks. He understands, she understands that we all will give an account to God. Therefore, he leaves the matters of judgment and justice in the hands of the Lord. Judgment and justice is to be left in the hands of our Lord. Even if we cannot respect another person because of how they act and what they've done to us, we should at least recognize the fact that they will have to answer to God and not to us. Romans 14, verse 4 tells us this: "Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. To his own master he stands or falls. Not to you, to his own master, who is the Lord." Romans 14, verse 12. "So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let's not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Each of us shall give an account of himself to God." David's reaction in our text is worthy of note. Instead of rejoicing and taking a small measure of revenge against Saul, David is shattered because he has touched the Lord's anointed. David's heart is so tender that even what we would think a small thing brings him conviction and condemnation. Even what we would think is a small thing, David is convicted and he feels condemned. Let me just say that I find it amazing that some people that call themselves Christians are able to hurt others with their words and deeds like they do. You can absolutely destroy a person with your tongue. Somebody could have had a limb broken 30 years ago, and they would have forgot all about it. Something was said to that person 30 years ago by mom or dad, brother or sister, aunt or uncle, a spouse, a neighbor, a stranger. And that person would walk around still today from the wounds that were inflicted. That mouth of yours, you better watch it. We need to watch our mouths and our tongues. Someone can say and do hurtful things to others with no remorse. You're either out of God's will or you're not even a child of God. When our hearts are right with the Lord, even the slightest wrongs will cause us pain and we'll have to deal with it. When you're right with the Lord, you won't be able to get away with too much. The Holy Spirit, when you sin, He convicts you on the spot. That is His job. He doesn't wait around a couple of days. As soon as you do something, say something, the Holy Spirit, boom, convicts you of that. Back to our text. When Saul leaves the cave, David follows him and sets the record straight. David follows clear biblical principles in our text that teach us how we should react when we're wronged by others. Let's first of all look what he did. Remember what had happened. David was hiding in the cave with his men, and all of a sudden Saul comes in to the cave to relieve himself. He doesn't know that David and his men are in there. So they're hiding. Saul goes in to relieve himself. David has the opportunity now to pay back Saul for trying to kill him. And David doesn't. But yet, David sneaks in behind Saul and cuts a piece of his robe off. So now, Saul leaves the cave. And now David follows him and sets the record straight. David follows clear biblical principles that teach us how we should react when we are wronged by others. Look at what David did. First of all, David took the first step. David humbled himself before Saul. David honored Saul. David spoke the absolute truth concerning the situation. David declared his own guilt. David committed himself to doing the right thing. David placed his case in the hand of the judge of the universe. As we listen to David speak in our text, we're given a clear picture of how all believers should respond in times of personal hurt. There's too much here in our text for us to consider every detail, but there are lessons here that we need to learn. First, we should not wait for the other person to take the first step. In my opinion, it's far better to deal with a hurt between yourself and the Lord, but if you cannot get past it, you're commanded to go to the offending person and get it settled. We must remain humble, and we must honor the offending party. We should confess our guilt in the situation, and we must extend absolute forgiveness to the offending party. We must commit ourselves to doing the right thing, regardless of what anyone else does. Just as surely as the offending party will face the Lord in judgment, so will we. Brothers and sisters, we must never forget that. When we're like, yeah, well, the Lord's going to judge him. Well, brothers and sisters, the Lord is going to judge us also. Let us always keep that in mind. For we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we all must stand before the Lord. We all will give an account. So we must commit ourselves to doing the right thing, regardless of what anyone else does. Ultimately, brothers and sisters, we must place our case in the hands of God and leave it there with Him. If we carry around all the hurts and the pains of this life, they will destroy us and eat us alive. eat you alive. Unforgiveness, bitterness, revenge will absolutely eat you alive. Do not allow the other things that people have done ruin your life. And this is not easy, but it is the will of God. Notice, if you're the offending party, there's a word here for you too. The Bible's clear regarding your responsibility. Look at Matthew 5, 23 and 24. If you have been offended. First, I was talking about if somebody offended you. Well, if you're the offending party, you've done the offending now. Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. You should never allow your pride to stand in the way of unity within the body of Christ. You must not allow your pride to stand in the way of being reconciled with your brothers, with your sisters. David's behavior in this matter touched the hard heart of King Saul. God used the actions of David to bring about peace that day. David got what he was after, not because he took matters into his own hands and set things right, but because he placed things in the hand of the Lord and demonstrated grace and forgiveness instead of bitterness. The bottom line is, when we live the right kind of life and practice forgiveness and grace and mercy, God will take the pains of life and transform them into avenues of peace for his glory. He will take those pains, those hurts of life, and transform them into avenues of peace for his glory. Abraham Lincoln was once being criticized for his attitude towards his enemies. Why do you try to make friends with them? A colleague asked. You should try to destroy them. Am I not destroying my enemies? The president asked. When I make them my friend? Am I not destroying my enemies when I make them my friends? The story was told after the Civil War that a general had visited a Kentucky lady who took him to the remains of a grand old tree that had been in the front of her house. There she bitterly cried that its limbs and its trunk had been destroyed by the Union Army. She looked to the general for a word condemning the North or at least sympathizing with her loss. After a brief silence, the general said, "Cut it down. Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it. Cut it down and forget it. It's better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain. Let bitterness take root and poison the rest of your life. You cannot live in the past what has been done to you and hold bitterness. You cannot let that root of bitterness take hold, because, brothers and sisters, it will ruin your life. And if I'm talking to you today and you have bitterness, get rid of it. Cut it down, rip it up, tear it out, throw it out, and forget it. That person, whatever they did, no matter how wicked it was, no matter how hurtful, no matter what, I'm not downplaying any injustice or hurt that has happened to you. But you must dig it up, root it out, and throw it away. Instead of hating that person, pray for that person. Lift that person up, because, brothers and sisters, you must realize this. Anything anybody did to you, they did it to you because they're a sinner. Just like you do what you do because you're a sinner. When you fall into sin, Do you not want God Almighty to forgive you? Are you not quick to say, Lord, forgive me? We must do the same with others, brothers and sisters, if they ask us or not. There's some people listening to this message, you need to cut down some old, mangled up trees from your past and forget about it. There's a challenge from the Lord for each of us today to let go of our thoughts of vengeance and to extend grace and mercy to those who may be against us. Do you not respond when somebody has wronged you? As soon as you hear about something happening, yeah, that's good, that's right, they deserve that. And then something says to you, you know what? But you didn't get what you deserve. You like the fact, you and I like the fact that we don't get what we deserve from the Lord. But somehow it brings a little joy to you when that person has wronged you, when you hear about something happened to them. Initially, when you hear that something happens to them, there's a little bit of joy rises up. And then the Lord's like, don't rejoice about that. Pray for that person. Love that person. If you're dealing with hurt, bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Lay it down at his feet. Forget it and forgive that person. Forget it. Forget what they've done and forgive them. As I said, they did what they did because they're sinners, just like us. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Whatever you have to do tonight or today, brothers and sisters, you must forgive. You can't basically even say to our Father, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Bitterness, hatred, anger towards others will absolutely destroy your walk with the Lord. It will make you miserable. The Lord wants you to leave it at the altar tonight. Give it to the Lord. If you hurt others and you know it, do the right thing. Go to them. Make it right. Even the old demon-possessed Saul was able to confess his fault because of David's actions. Because of David's actions, even Saul was able to say in 1 Samuel 24, verse 17, then he said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. Who should we be like, brothers and sisters? David, a man after God's own heart, or Saul, a demon-possessed, rebellious king of Israel? Let us follow the example of David in this matter. One that forgave, one that walked in integrity. And may it be said of you. Then he said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. Forgive that person, brothers and sisters, and pray for that person. And even you, my friend who would be listening today, maybe you have never come to God for forgiveness of your sins. God Almighty is willing to forgive you of all the wrongs that you have done against him. You have rebelled against God Almighty. You have broken all of his commands. And I say that because James says if you've broken one of them, you're guilty of breaking all of them. And yet God would be willing to forgive you if you would simply repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He would extend forgiveness to you. And not only extend forgiveness to you, he would save your soul, give you a new heart, grant you repentance and faith, and he would adopt you as his son and daughter and grant you eternal life. If you would simply come to him, admitting that you have wronged him, admitting that you have done wrong, admitting to him that you have sinned and fallen far short And if you will come to him today, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will forgive you of your sins.